This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile, Election Day Eve. It's your chance to get to hear from several of the names that'll be on tomorrow's ballot, Republican ballots for the runoff, and it's your last chance. Well, I don't know. You might have more chances to ask questions, but it'll be your last chance on this show to ask the candidates directly. And joining us now in the Republican primary runoff for AL1, Mobile County Commissioner and candidate Jerry Carl joins us. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Sean, thank you. And thank you so much for opening up your programs to all of us candidates, be able to get our views and our opinions out there. It's very vital instrument in our democracy, getting some of this stuff out.
Well, it's my pleasure. As you know, not only do I do the show, I live here. I'm worried about, you know.
Make the difference.
Yeah, I'm worried about the same things everybody else is, you know, here at home. So let's talk about this. It's been obviously a longer than expected campaign season with a runoff and then an extension here till July. But it's home stretch now. What are you dealing with now? What's like over the next 24 hours plus? What are you still answering questions, emails, visiting with folks, or is it more about get out the vote strategy? What happens now?
Get out the vote. I mean, we're working the phones. We're working Texas. We're working text lines. We're working anything we can to touch people and talk to people about getting out to vote. We've been doing some interviews from some other congressmen today, actually, that have gotten on board with us that are helping us in another area. But I tell you, it's been a long year and a half. And, you know, we started out at a 7-point name recognition, and here we are. We're going into the final. You know, it's the world seems to be kind of spinning a little bit faster than normal today. But we're going to go in tomorrow. I get to wake up tomorrow and load up in my car and go from poll to poll and thank poll greeters and, you know, thank the people that really make this campaign actually work and be successful. And we just had incredible foot traffic with people coming in and out of the office and picking up signs and working telephones. You know, and on top of that, we've got so much local support. Virtually every elected Republican leader has supported us in some way. Some have come public, some have not. Some are, you know, working their email list and they're texting for us today. But, you know, we're very proud to, you know, pick up the support from local people. Congressman Burns, Sheriff Hossmack is endorsing us. Sheriff Heath Jackson up in Escambia County, Representative Chris Pringle, Representative Chip Brown, Representative Shane Stringer, Mayor Dane Haygood, County City Council Member John Williams. I mean, we've picked up all the farm community through Alpha and the Coastal 150 group. I mean, it's incredible the outpouring of people that are local-based that are focused on us in this election, and it's because of our message. It's not because of Jerry Carl, but it's because of our message, and they understand who I am and what I'm about. I've been under the microscope for the last 8 years, so people have got a good feeling of who I am, and I'm a man of my word, and I don't mind working. You know, you may be smarter than me, but I'll outwork you. And that's the message that we've pushed. You know, I'm a common Joe. And I want to be that way. I want to be that common man that goes to Washington and represents District 01.
Okay, well, that's a tall task, and obviously a very important task. As you look at that and trying to figure out how do you make sure what's important here in Southwest Alabama is heard in Washington. You got a lot of other voices up there.
You do, but first of all, you got to listen to the people that are here. I mean, you got to listen to your constituents. My best ideas come from somebody else. And we have to take those conservative views, those conservative values that we've grown up with, and take them to Washington and cast our vote and do the best we can do to be heard in all the chatter that's going on up there. And I'm the first to admit, you know, there's a lot of good people up there that are involved in politics that are trying to do a great job. And there's a handful that do nothing but stir up and cause havoc, and they're getting the most attention. But while they're getting the attention, we can also get the job done of the people. And that's what I have full intentions of doing, going up there representing the folks in District 1 with our family homespun values and get the job done come back and listen more.
Let's talk about some of those things that are crucial to us. And I don't know how many times over the years you and I have talked about this, but let's talk bridge. I know that that seems to have gone out of the imagination, but that's still a thing, the I-10 Mobile River Bridge Project. How do you use the job in Washington to help us with that?
I started that about a month and a half ago. I actually had dinner with Steve Scalise over in Orange Beach, Congressman Scalise. And the first question out of my mouth is, Congressman, one of the first things I want to focus on is the bridge. He said, what bridge? He was kidding with me there. I said, the Mobile Bay Bridge. So we've got to build that bridge. We can't do it by tolling. We've got to come up with some federal funds. You've got to coach me and help me and figure out a way to do it. And he started laughing. He said, I knew which bridge you were talking about. I sat there for 2 hours yesterday trying to get across it. So I've already started pushing the bridge concept. We cannot go the toll route. We've got to find a way to downsize it, where it's somewhat affordable, a lot cheaper than what we're looking at. I think the last numbers I saw were $2.3 million. But if we can scale that back to, I'm sorry, billion. So if we can scale that back to, you know, a billion, which it actually started at a billion, we can start focusing on trying to get this money. And from a federal side, it's a federal highway. Why should the feds not have more of a say-so and the expending of the money? Of course, I understand state has to have a little skin in the game, and there'll have to be some state money put forwards, but I'm going to Washington to get us a bridge. I've already started lobbying for that.
If you're just joining us, talking with Jerry Carl, of course, in the Republican primary runoff tomorrow. Polls open at 7. Okay, you look at this difference here on what I would say, and I know that I've heard some disagreement from candidates over time, but I believe, at least in what I've heard, that most people running for office support President Trump that are on the Republican side. But I look at it as a voter trying to figure out who's going to be better at doing that and who's going to be better at representing Alabama, because you do have a job to, if you're a Republican, to the Republican president, but you also have that job to AL1. And I wonder if those things can be synonymous, or sometimes they're going to be one person, one candidate would implement better than the other one. I mean, trying to figure out just how you do the job, how you get the best take. We saw Congressman Byrne got up there and got some committee assignments and got moving on things pretty darn quickly.
He did, and he's done an incredible job, and that's a huge set of shoes for me to try to fill. I talked to President Trump 4+ years ago, when he came here campaigned in the second time. I was with him both times. The second time, I started telling him how much we loved him here in South Alabama, and he was telling me, you know, how if he was not elected, which he was elected at that time, or about to be, no, he was elected. I'm sorry, he was waiting to be sworn in. That he was wanting to move to Alabama because he loves the folks in Alabama. Well, I'm gonna give him a good chance to make that word good and strong. I've been in communication with his staff. It's amazing how these staffs talk to one another. It's kind of like the candidates or the elected officials sometimes don't even exist. But our staffs have been talking. We've already got some plans put together. I did support the president in the 2016 election. I support him financially, and I support him by getting out to vote, too. I know that's been a big issue.
Yeah, can we get specific on that? Because that's an allegation been made.
Before Trump even entered in the race, Ben Carson was in town, and I was invited by the Republican leadership to come to a $500 a plate dinner. So I spent $500. I went and got a plate of food, and I got to meet Ben Carson and his wife. Now, once the primary was over with, of course, we had Donald Trump at that point. It was our choice, and I actually sent Donald Trump $1,000, and all this is documented and recorded. Of course, don't let the facts get in the way of your creative imagination. But we've got And we dug our heels in, and we worked hard to get Donald Trump elected. We sent folks in to most folks don't know the ladies here in the ladies groups in Mobile and Baldwin County. They sent foot soldiers into the panhandle of Florida, and they knocked on doors for a month and a half for Donald Trump. So we did a lot of work behind the scenes, myself working with those ladies, trying to get that stuff done. So to say I didn't support Donald Trump is really a stretch. I don't like to use the word lie, but it's really a stretch.
So once again, when the allegation is that you gave money to President Trump's
thousands of dollars into the opponent's campaign,
right?
Which is $500. It was actually before I bought
$500 ago to
before Donald Trump even committed to run for president.
Okay, so this is good. We line these things up so we get more information. I tell you what, it'd be better. Can you hold on? I can run the news break and come right back, and we'll get more of our conversation with Jerry Carl. Of course, his name on the Republican primary ballot tomorrow for the runoff, and we'll continue the conversation, get some of your questions when we come back as well at 343-0106 from the text line. And I got some stacked up right now. We'll get to those when we return, and Bill Hightower will join us in the 1 o'clock hour.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Remember, online at fmtalk1065.com. You can actually go back and get past podcasts of conversations I've had with everybody that has come on the show to talk about the whether it's the Senate race or AL1 or any of the other elections in the past. You can go, we archive all that stuff. So if you'll go to fmtalk1065.com and click the link for podcast, it's searchable there. Like this interview right here with Jerry Carl that will show up at some point later on this afternoon. We continue our conversation with candidate Carl. This is good because we've got a lot of text here, but Bill's may be the best. To run down through the list, it says, can Jerry Carl debunk all the three corruption accusations from the Hightower campaign? And he says, let's do it one by one, the street in your neighborhood.
First of all, it's not the street in my neighborhood. It was Schillinger's Road, and they're referring to my office. That's how bad they got the information twisted, whoever's doing their media stuff. It's Schillinger's Road. Schillinger's Road was started in 1977. I mean, I was a graduate from high school playing on Panama City Beach when this thing was put on the books. Now, what they're referring to is the last vote. The people voted on this segment of the road in 2008 before I ever got in office. So that's what they're saying. I voted to enhance, to increase the value of my property, which I do have an office off of Schillinger's on a different road called Westside Park. So the story just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Don't
get caught up in the facts.
Okay, but the question was that I think a discussion with Bill Hightower, he said, well, you should have recused yourself from the vote.
Why? I'm a road and bridge. That's my job, is to vote on road and bridges. The public has, in 2008, had already okayed it under the pay-as-you-go plan. Why would I recuse myself from that? That's something totally bizarre. I don't understand that. In other words, I wouldn't do my job. What was the other question?
Okay, the next one here is,
I know we're limited on time,
the South Mobile County property kickback.
Okay, which was the Walmart project, that 750 jobs. They brought me that project. They said we didn't qualify. I got to looking at it. I said, I know exactly where it needs to go because of the ballot battery on and off exit ramp. We looked at the, we got Walmart out there. We looked at a 250-acre piece that the school board owns. We got a deal worked out. They decided because of the size of that ramp, they wanted to increase it to 400. We had a problem with that. There's a piece of property right next to it, which a very well-known attorney had bought back in the, I think, the late 70s or early 80s. He'd been sitting on it a long time. It was a cotton field. I talked to him. He was interested in selling it. I got him together with the state. The state did a full value on that property. They made an offer on that property. The state did. The seller sold it. It was approved by Mobile County Commission, all three. It was approved by all the city council members, the mayor, the governor, and the governor's staff. Now, tell me how I can plan kickback on that.
And this last one, he says, Bill says, I forget the last bogus charge. So I don't know if there's the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah, there's been so much flying, but you know, folks, don't get caught up in all the what have you got? What have I done as an individual? You know, who is looking at supporting me? Local people that I've worked with. You're looking at local elected officials that understand and work with me every day. You don't get the support from a Hoss Mack by just being the best of the two candidates. I mean, it's hard for a person like that politically to step out and support anybody. So I'm very proud. I'm local. I don't have to tell you about somebody that lives nine states away is supporting me. I can give you a list of those if you want them, but they don't mean anything. It's who's supporting you here. At the end of the day, these are the people that you live with. These are the people that you work with. They know you best, and if they won't support you, you better take a second look at who your candidate is.
Okay, and there's a bunch of it seems like the same question. Let's see if one of them is different. This texter says, I'd like if he supported the Tennis League and Art Museum.
And so those are already figures that apply. The hotel industry imposed a tax on themselves long before I got in office, and that money is earmarked for the tennis center. Some of it doesn't go to the Art League, but the tennis center is the reason they self-imposed that tax. That is the largest tennis facility in the U.S. Millions of tax dollars are made off of that tennis center. Those are already carved in stone. That's already in the budget, and that's what they're trying to pull out and make an issue out of, which is totally bogus. I can't answer for the tumbleweed under the glass now. I don't know about that one.
You don't know. Okay. The tennis center thing, I mean, I do remember this discussion that was, because I remember talking to somebody from the hotel and restaurant group that they were for it because they wanted to, it served them to try to bring more groups in, right?
Of course it did.
Yeah, that
sure
was, I remember that discussion.
It's heads in beds. These are people coming from across the nation to play tennis. I mean, these are business decisions that I wasn't even involved in making. I'd love to take credit for it, but these are things that were set up before I got in office that I'm obviously being criticized for. And if anybody has a problem with the government finding ways of making tax dollars off of people outside this district, you know, again, we need to think about that. That's tourism money. That's not local money.
All right. As we get close on time here, so closing thoughts here. If you're talking to folks before tomorrow and they show up at the polls, why vote for Jerry Carl?
Vote for the local candidate. Vote for somebody that is born, raised, has all of his roots, all of his family. Somebody that's willing to invest his own personal money in a campaign. I got criticized for that, but I'm willing to risk.
Now your opponents from here too, though, right?
For this campaign.
Your opponents from here. Bill Hightower's from here as well, right?
He's originally from Nashville, I believe. Spent a lot of time in Europe.
I think he went to high school here or whatever.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to keep everybody juggled and on the same page here. Make sure, you know, the day before we get info out. But to vote for you. You were telling folks why to vote for you and why to come out tomorrow.
And look at what your local elected officials are focused on. They're focusing on somebody they can work with. It's not a buddy system. It is a teamwork effort to get anything done in government. And I'm part of that team. I'm still part of that team. I've always been part of that team. And I will be part of that team.
There you go. Jerry Carl, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on the show with us.
Thank you, Sean. And everybody, please get out and vote. We've made it very safe for you to go and vote, so feel comfortable doing it. Vote Jerry Carl. I appreciate your vote. And God bless you, Sean. Thank you so much.
All right. There he is, Jerry Carl. And coming back this next hour, Bill Hightower joins us as well. We'll hear from him.